Thank you for joining us. And now we want to talk to you about our God-centered concept discipleship series that we have been promoting for a very long time on this show. Here is the book, Victory in Seven by T.S. Wright, the God-centered concept discipleship series that teaches you what real discipleship looks like. This first book will simply get into the foundational process. Make sure you go to Amazon.com and order your copy right now.
Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth, discipleship, and the calling of spreading revival. Now your host, T.S. Wright.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. We appreciate the fact that you guys are a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community, and I'll tell you what, we got a special guest today, and this guy is, he's awesome. He is a songwriter. He's a musician. He is an author, and he is, and I'm not going to let him off this podcast until he tells us about his books. And I'm also going to tell you, as him and I got to discuss a little bit, we're both former athletes in high school and in college. And this guy played some basketball. And if you've ever seen Friday Night Lights, he is from their rivalry, Midland. And so I think you guys should know that. I'd like to put that out there just to give you some little bit of a context here. But I'm going to say this. This guy actually no longer lives there. He is in Tennessee. So, hey, he left all it behind in Texas, and he moved to Tennessee. You've never heard that in a song, I'm sure. So I had to throw that in. But anyway, Kent, with that announcement right there, welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I appreciate you asking me to show up.
You bet. And I'm just glad we were able to get this recorded and get you on. So, Ken, here's what we want to do. Our audience, I always start our audience out. It's all about your journey, your story. And so I just want to give you the floor and you just explain to our audience who you are and give them that, give them a flavor of what you're all about.
Okay. I'm going to break that up kind of in two parts. As far as just an overview, I'm a songwriter, and my biggest claims to fame is I've written some stuff with Garth Brooks and have a gold record with Gary Allen. And so Nashville is my home now. I've been here twice, and my journey is really part of what this book is about. So they say, and I'll give you what started the book and what it's about. We're told that the five most stressful things that can happen to someone in their life is, one, the death of a loved one, two, a health crisis, three, a divorce, four, the loss of a job, and five, relocating or moving, buying a house. Well, I did four of those five in 1 year, 2013.
Oh, wow.
It started out. Yeah, I know. I don't want to relive it. In February of that year, they rushed me to the hospital with chest pains. And they took me into the emergency room, did all that stuff. And by the time I came out from, being under and all that, they told me that I had two medical conditions. One of them was pericarditis, and then the other one was AFib. So over the next 5 to 6 months, I was in and out of the hospital, tests, doing all this kind of stuff. And finally, they decided they were going to do two heart ablation surgeries on me, about 30 days apart. So I had the first heart ablation surgery at the beginning of August. And when I came out of that surgery, about two days later, my ex-wife told me that she was thinking about getting a divorce. And about 3 days after that, which was the weekend, I remember that, my boss called me and told me that the company I was working for was going out of business and that my last day of insurance was going to be the day before my surgery. So the doctors kindly switched that up so that my insurance was the day after my surgery. So I come out of that, and my ex-wife and I went to counseling till in November, and then she informed me on November 20th that she wanted a divorce. And I left the house that day. And it was the next 6 to 8 weeks are really kind of a blur. I don't really remember much. I do remember that there was nothing now to hold me in Texas. The only reason I moved there back to Texas from Nashville was to take care of my family. So I kind of like just, I don't know, you call it the spirit or whatever. Something just said, I'm going back to do what I always wanted to do, music. So when I moved back to Nashville, I ended up living with my two roommates from 30 years ago bought houses side by side. So I rented a bedroom from one of them for $50 a month. And then they both helped me put my stuff into storage. And I can remember going to bed at night, that first night, saying my prayers to God and feeling like my prayers stopped at the ceiling. They just didn't go any further. Where are you in all this? So one of the things I learned is that if you're going through a divorce, during the day, you can kind of distract yourself. There's things to do. But at night, it's just absolute sheer pain for me. So I would get up all hours of the night, you know, 10, 11, 12, never went to sleep really, 1, 2, 3 in the morning. And I would go walking in that area. And if you've ever been to Nashville, you know, there's no sidewalks. There's these blacktop roads. And I usually would end up at the high school track. And I'd walk and run until I couldn't anymore, until I just was ready to drop dead from it. And then I would wander back towards the house. And when you're walking in Nashville at that time of night, you hear all these strange things like, critters running around, street lights humming, crickets. Well, little by little over the next couple of years, I started to heal. And some of the publishers around here started sending me some young kids to write with to teach them a little bit about the craft of writing. So one day I was working with this very, very talented young lady, and she said that she had sent a song to a famous artist. And I said, well, what did you hear? And she said, crickets. I didn't know what that meant. So she explained it to me. And once she did, I knew I had my next song. That to me represented, it was my version of what happened to the prophet. The prophet was in the cave and he was looking for God, and God wasn't in the thunder. He wasn't in this. He wasn't in that. He was that still small voice. And so for me, those crickets that I heard when I was walking, the things that I thought was God ignoring me, was him actually speaking to me. And that's when I started this journey. And I went through, the book itself is 13 chapters. Each chapter has one or two stories about an event in my life, which illustrates a biblical truth. And then at the end of the chapter, there's the lyrics to a song, again, to take another level, and a link to where you can go and stream or purchase that song. Whew. So that's my story overall.
Well, first of all, I just want to say, hey, it's always amazing how God's faithfulness, no matter what our circumstances are, if we're working to pursue him, no matter what the circumstances are, God will always respond. He's there. Sometimes he's responding even when we're not, but he's also waiting, you know, and he's luring you into, hey, I'm here. I'm the one you need to listen to. I'm the one that's got the plan. And so, and I think your story just illustrates that perfectly. So, you know, I always think testimony is such a powerful thing. And, you know, so much of the gospel is testimony. You know, I don't, when you read the four gospels and you read the book of Acts, a lot of that's testimony is really what it is. And I think the power of that, you illustrate that perfectly. So what I'd like you to do now is talk to us a little bit about your musical career. Just, you know, give us some of that, you know, your songwriting, your musician, your, all those pieces that you have in the music part, you know, talk to us a little bit about that.
When I tell people this part of the story, that they either laugh or think I'm lying, but I wrote my first song when I was 5 years old.
Amen.
So it's always been in me. I went to college. My degree is in music from Texas Tech. And through the years, I mean, I took piano lessons for over 20 years, and then I taught myself the guitar. And when you're in a music program, you got to do some proficiency tests on other instruments. So I picked up a lot of instruments. And now that the computer is here, you can trigger songs with your keyboard. So I can play an entire orchestra. But when I originally came here to Nashville, I was here from 1983 to 1992. Mm-hmm. And in Nashville, there's kind of like a networking system where you work your way up the food chain. You show yourself at one level, and someone at the next level will maybe hear you playing somewhere, and they'll ask you, hey, do you want to write or do you want to play? You want to hang out? And by you know, over time, you'll start meeting more and more of the people as you move up the ladder. And what's really incredible is, I kid you not, I'm a decent musician. I'm not great. I'm really a songwriter. But the guy that sacks groceries at the grocery store, or who used to, they, you know, self-check now, he can play the guitar better than I can. The waiters, they're probably 80% of the waiters in a restaurant are musicians trying to make it. It is a tough, tough, tough business. As far as my cuts, my biggest one, of course, is my gold record with Gary Allen. I've had a little over 100 of my songs recorded around the world. It's just what I do.
Amen. Amen. So now, you know, you kind of gave us a little bit of a part of your, just your kind of your Christ-centered story with your testimony, but, you know, talk to us about how that has played out now and kind of what, maybe a little bit about what happened afterwards.
Well, outside of the music career, this book changed my whole focus of what I do. I do presentations. I go to churches. I go to help groups like divorced people or prisons. And I talk to them with my story and tell them what I do. You said something very interesting, which to me ties into what I do. I am not a preacher. I am not anyone who's going to a pastor or anything like that. I am a witness. And if Amen. You go to the Bible, it says you are to be my witnesses throughout the world. Mm-hmm. I usually start my presentations with, I'm a songwriter, got a gold record with Gary Allen, wrote songs with Garth Brooks. And people will sit up and I'll say, isn't it a shame that that will get everyone's attention? But if I tell you that I'm a follower of Jesus, the conversation will just go on. What is more important, me being a songwriter, writing with Garth Brooks, or your internal life? And that usually gets people to at least listen to for a while to see if I had anything to offer up to them.
Amen. Amen. So you talk about, you go and talk to those type of groups, and, you know, obviously you've also, been able to move on in your life, and sounds like you've been, if I'm not mistaken, remarried.
Yes, I have. That's another chapter in the book.
Exactly. And so, you know, God doesn't just leave us there. And I think that's so important, is that he's not just going to leave us in that situation. He's going to continue to work in us to obviously continue bringing our life to full fold. You know, if something goes wrong, if we're faithful, then he will make up for that wrong somewhere, somehow. It may not necessarily be the way you envision it, but he will bring it to be done in a way to bring him glory, because our stories are supposed to bring him glory. And so maybe talk a little bit about that and how, you know, he's redone your life that is now bringing him glory.
Well, when you go through pain or crisis or something like that, you have just been gifted. The original title of this book was called Wounds That Heal. And my example would be, when I used to be the elder in a church where I used to be, and I'd go and call on people that were going through a divorce and tell you, oh, you know, I understand how you feel. You know, I'd broken up with girls in high school. How stupid of me. How insensitive. You cannot know that pain until you've gone through it. Now that I've gone through it, I work with divorce care groups. I understand it, and I've been gifted to listen, to understand. And it's not that I'm wise. I can just relate and empathize. And you will have more effect on people by using this. One of the things about the book, in the opening chapter, we say that God was the songwriter, I was the song. And if you're a songwriter, our job is to take this chaos and this whatever it is out there and to bring it together and sift through it and make a song. And you'll go through and every line you'll pick apart, and you'll make one word can change the meaning of that line. Well, that's what God did with me. He basically made a song out of me, taking all this chaos, whittling this away, bringing this in, and changing me and my life. And we all have that ability to become a new song in God's hands.
Amen. 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 So, you know what? I know that we've also, you know, you've given us some of your story and all this other stuff. Now let's elaborate on you as an author. All right. Talk about you and the book. And what I'm going to do is I just want to give the floor over to you. And you know what? Give us some, just talk about the book. Tell us about what the book is about. Give us a feel for it. Give us some of your, you know, some of your stories that are out, that are in the book that really the audience can relate to.
I'll give you a couple of quick ones. Well, actually, one of them is kind of long-winded, but I am that way.
Floor is yours, my friend.
Well, one of the chapters, and I hate to keep bringing the name up, but is about how everyone, when they meet me, they say, how did you meet Garth Brooks? And it's
well, a great. Of course, yeah. He's the famous star, right?
Right, yeah. And, you know, who cares about you? How did you meet Garth Brooks? So, what? Oh, better make sure. Hang on one second. I need to do something.
Yeah. You know, this.
Sorry about that.
Sometimes we all get, hey, sometimes we all get a little starstruck, don't we?
My computer came unplugged. Well, so here's my story on that one. It's in two parts. I worked for Circuit City. And the store that I was at the time was kind of like in a bad part of town. And we would get people coming in sometimes that were vagrants. I'm not trying to be insensitive to them, but my boss didn't want them in the building because they were affecting business, all that. Well, I'm the biggest guy in the room. I'm 6'7". So they would send me over to escort them out. So one day this filthy guy came in ragged sweatpants and things and came to sit on this end cap. So my boss said, throw him out of here. I said, okay. So I go over to get him and I get closer to him and he looks really familiar. And I said, do I know you? And he said, Randall Tex Cobb, damn glad to meet you. Well, you know, if you know him, he was an actor and he also fought for the heavyweight championship of the world. So Randall was originally from Abilene and I was from Midland. So we started talking and he said, well, what's an old Texas boy like you doing out here? I said, well, I'm one of those songwriters. He says, you are? Well, let me introduce you to my wife. She's a songwriter. So he takes me across the store and I meet his wife. And then I start selling them a stereo. And they said, we'll buy this stereo if you'll come put it together. I said, okay, I'll put it together if you'll listen to my songs. I'm always looking for an in, you know. So this is at the very beginning of my career. So I go over to their house to put this stereo together. And I put in my cassette and they listen. And Sharon said, you know, you're pretty good. You ought to call Bob at ASCAP and tell him I sent you. I said, okay. So I call Bob up at ASCAP and I say, may I speak to Bob? They say, well, he doesn't work here anymore. But since you're a friend of Randall and Sharon's, I'll give you his phone number. Okay. So I call up Bob and I say, my name's Kent Maxson. I'm a songwriter. Randall and Sharon Cobb sent me to him. He says, well, I don't really do that kind of stuff anymore. He says, but since you're a friend of Randall and Sharon's, come on over. I said, okay. So I go over to see Bob. And I go in with my cassette and I put it in and I play my stuff. And he says, you know, you're pretty good. I left ASCAP to manage a new artist. His name is Garth Brooks. I think y'all write some good songs. So that's the back half of how I met Garth.
Wow.
The front half. So I was in Lubbock, Texas, and my girlfriend and I broke up. And so about 2 months later, I called her and said, is there a chance we'll get back together again? She said, no, you just need to move to Nashville. It's what you always wanted to do. Well, okay. So I was in a singing group at the time, and I promised him I would finish the album and that I would play our shows through September. And so finished the album, finished it. And the last night I was going to play with him, I was upstage singing, and my ex-girlfriend comes in with my ex-roommate. She sits on the front row, sits in his lap, and starts hugging and kissing on him. And I'm thinking, man, I'm standing up here dying, and you're sitting down there acting like a fool. Well, the next day I left for Nashville, and that stuck with me forever. Well, years later, by the time I met Garth, I twisted this thing around to from where I'm sitting, I can see where we stand. And that became my gold record with Gary Allen. So the whole more, and I left out a whole bunch of stuff of how I got from Lubbock to Nashville, but we think miracles are these instantaneous events like water changing into wine. But God works in the secret sometimes, behind the scenes. How did he put me in that store? Well, how did I get the job at Circuit City? A lady at the church told me about it. Well, how did I go to that church? Well, the people I lived with when I first moved there went there. Damn. So you put these little strings together, and that's how I met Garth. We need to be aware that these little things, like when you all of a sudden this wonderful thing happens in your event, well, what little things that took place to get you that point? So there are miracles. We just need to be more aware of them. So that's one of the stories in the book. If you want, I can give you another one.
Hey, you know what? Hey, give us one more short story.
Okay, I'll make it as quick as I can.
Because that was very interesting. I love that story. Let's do one more. Hey,
okay.
I know my audience will be like, yeah, let's. I mean, this is great. This is juicy.
Well, I originally went to Texas Tech to be a mechanical engineering major. And the reason I did it was that was a good career for someone, you know, and not a musician. So I went there and I did okay for 3 years. But after 3 years, this isn't for me. So I did what any reasonable 20-year-old would do. I just sat in my room, didn't go to class. And I played my guitar, wrote songs. Well, I went home at Christmas time. And a couple of days later, my report card came. My mom opens it up. And she goes, "Why can't? You've been kicked out of college." I ran straight to my bedroom and sat on the bed waiting for my death. Dad wasn't there yet, but I knew when he came home, that was it. So while I'm waiting, you know, each of my sisters come in and say, "Oh, Bubba, it's going to be okay." Dog came in, licked me on the face. Mom brought me a tuna fish sandwich, my last meal.
And I was just my last meal.
I was so afraid. So my dad, I hear the garage door open and I hear him coming through and the pause in the living room. Then he comes and opens the door and he walks over to me and I'm sitting on the bed and he says, "Well, it looks like you had a rough time at college this semester." "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, I didn't exactly tear college up when I went through it at the first time. Now we'll see what you're made of." And he walked out of the room. It's hard for me not to cry on this one. I lost my dad a couple of years ago. And what my dad told me was he's not going to fix what I did. But he was going to be there for me the whole step of the way. Amen. We look at God sometimes. I got a friend of mine who lost his son to drugs. And whatever faith he had, he lost. He was, why would God have that? That can't be a loving God. And the choices that we make, do we immediately expect God to rescue him? Not that he can't, not that he doesn't. But if I drink alcohol all my life and I destroy my liver, do I blame God for that? Yeah. He'll be with me. I'll be in eternity as long as I believe in him, have faith in him and his son, but I'm going to have to suffer the consequences for my choices.
Yes. So
that's one of the ideas within the book.
Amen. Amen. Well, Kent, I'm going to tell you right now, I could just sit here and listen to stories. Notice I haven't said a lot. I've just been, taking all this in and this is awesome. So
I appreciate it.
What I hate is we're going to have to wrap up here because we're running out of time. But Ken, if somebody wants to get their hands on these books, how can they do that?
Well, they're all over the internet. Amazon's the quickest, easiest. Or you can go to my website, www.kentmaxson.com. And you can get that. You can also listen to the music. There's music videos, and you can order them and we'll get them right to you.
Awesome. That is great. And I'm just going to say that it's been great having you on the show here, Kent. And you know what? I think our audiences, they got to love these stories, man. And this is great. If they don't, I did. I mean, hey, just to replay it and listen to the stories is what I like. So, but I'm just going to say this, we're going to include all this in the show notes and make sure you guys are able to get access to all of this. And you know what? Go buy his book. Go buy his book. That's really the key. And just like I've been telling you guys, we're doing our campaign to get our book out. We've been approved with a top-notch publisher, and you guys are hearing that at the beginning of every show. And we just pray that you'll also be helping to contribute to our book project as well. So, but get online, go to Kent's website, buy his book, and really support what he's doing with this ministry. So, Ken, it's been great having you here. I just want to thank everybody that's been on the show. Thank you for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. We just feel blessed that you guys are here, and we look forward to continuing bringing you this great, awesome content with these wonderful people that you guys get to listen to. On behalf of myself and Kent, I am T.S. Wright. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Thank you for listening to the show. And this week, we want to give our big shout out across the pond to London, England. You guys have been a major supporter of the show, The Kingdom Crossroads, and we want to thank you for that. We want to thank you for everything that you have done and continuing to build our base there in London with more and more downloads and more people listening to our show from London. We ask you to continue to spread the word about our show, as well as let's start reaching more people for Christ, and let's start seeing if we can put discipleship at front and center in making disciples in London, England. Again, we thank you for being a part of this community, and at some point, we would love to come over there and to be able to work with you to help you and bring the God-centered concept over to London. We thank you again for the support of this community, and we again ask you for your continued support and spreading the word and helping this show grow. Thank you so much, London, and God bless you, and we pray for you that God will continue to use you in these amazing ways, and that God will continue to expand his word and the gospel right there in London. Thank you so much, and God bless all of you.